Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of CD Projekt SE. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Adam Kuczynski, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Good evening. My name is Adam Kuczynski, and I'm the joint CEO of the project. I would like to thank you for joining us on this conference call, which we organized to provide more insight into today's news about Cyberpunk 2077 release date. I would also like to apologize for the short notice, but our intention was to become available to you as soon as possible after we shared the news to answer any potential questions you might have. Before we start the Q&A session, I would like to share a few words on behalf of the entire board. Cyberpunk 2077 is finished, both content and gameplay-wise. The quests, the cutscenes, the skills and items, all adventures Night City has to offer. It's all there, but there is still work to be done. A huge world means a huge number of things to iron out, and we'll spend the additional time doing exactly that. We are fully aware that making such a decision costs us your trust. And trading trust for additional time is one of the hardest decisions a game developer can make. Our intention is to make Cyberpunk 2077 something that will stay with us for years to come. Finally, as both board members and key shareholders, we believe that today's decision is strategically sound. We are convinced that it will be beneficial to our long-term fundamental growth. Now, I would like you to invite to Q&A session. Your questions will be answered by me, as well as Piotr Nielubowicz, CFO, and Michał Nowakowski, board member responsible for publishing. Thank you. We are ready to answer your questions, so please go ahead and let's start Q&A.
Thank you very much. Then we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 0 and 2 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. And we've received the first question. It is from Nick Dempsey of Barclays. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions, please. So, first of all, did COVID-19 have a major impact on this decision to delay it? Can you imagine that you'd have carried on straight away with the September deadline if this hadn't happened? Or is it simply that the process has taken a bit longer? I understand it's a very complex and large process, taking a bit longer, and that's had no impact. So that's the first question. And then in terms of the launch of the two DLC, you did two big DLCs after The Witcher 3. Can you talk about the likely timing of those as a result of this delay? And actually sneaking in the third question, I think you said on the call a couple of calls ago that you expected multiplayer to not land in calendar 2021. Can we assume that multiplayer just gets delayed proportionately with this delay, or how should we think about that?
Adam Kiczynski, so let me take the first one. COVID-19 obviously doesn't help, but it's not a main reason. But of course, it doesn't help in the final phase.
And I'll try to take the second and third one. This is Michał Nowakowski. You ask about two DLCs released after The Witcher 3, but I'm assuming you probably meant
I was talking about Cyberpunk. I just meant that you launched two after Witcher 3. I'm assuming you're launching two after this one, and I'm understanding.
Oh, okay. So you assume that it's going to be exactly the same situation. Yeah. Well, we haven't specifically mentioned the number of the DLCs, as you call them. We prefer to call them expansions, as they're bigger than the typical DLCs. But of course, the fact that the launch of the CP has been moved will in proportion move the release of such potential, you know, expansions. We have not actually made any specific announcements on when that was planned, but since these are actually being developed, these are not any carved out pieces we keep in the drawer, so to say. They have to be made. They will happen later. Now, when it comes to multiplayer, similarly to the expansions, its launch is going to be proportionally delayed as well, although multiplayer is a bit more distant anyway. So that's a bit of a thing of the future anyway.
Okay, thank you. That's great.
Thank you. The next question is from Elmar Shake of Morgan Stanley. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Good evening, everyone. I just had a couple of questions if I could. Could you just, Adam, perhaps, if you could just clarify exactly what you mean by finishing touches? So you touched upon it in your opening remarks, but could you maybe just flesh out a little bit more what exactly is you're doing? Because, you know, you're allowing hands-on tests now and you're saying that the game is finished. So just some additional color on the bug fixing that you mentioned, that would be helpful. And then I just want to clarify about Night City Wire. Are you still going ahead with that? And do you anticipate that there will be some reviews from journalists post that, say, towards the end of this month? Thank you very much.
So the finish and the final phase, those final touches are just about polishing. It's about tweaking small things to make them as perfect as possible. So we are aiming at very high quality. So, and quality, it's not only about big things, it's about small things as well. So, and there is hell of a lot small things to be tweaked. And this process just, I mean, we have to secure time for this to be sure that we won't rush the release. That's why we add nine weeks. Regarding Night City Wire, nothing changes. Independent journalists are currently playing the game, and we are expecting reviews right after Night City Wire, so late afternoon on Thursday next week. So to judge the game, I mean, you will be able to judge the game through the eyes of journalists reading reviews in a week from now.
The previous.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's useful. Just as a follow-up, if I may, when you think about the time that you've now allowed yourself, this additional 9 weeks, would you say that's a conservative amount of time? And would you rule out essentially delaying further beyond 19th of November?
We truly believe that this is the final date. That's only I can say now. I mean, any decision like this costs us, as I said in an initial speech, because costs us trust. So we try to be as reasonable as possible to make a final decision. So that's our take on as for now. That we really believe that the game will be released on 19th of November.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Robert Berg of Berenberg. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Just a quick follow-up, I guess, and apologies if I'm asking the same question in a different way. I appreciate your launch. It won't be next-gen ready, but how important for you is it, if at all, to launch the game around the new console? So if there is a delay from November to another date, is that an any more difficult decision than from September to November?
I can try and take it, Michał Nowakowski here. I'm not sure I'm getting the question right, but I tried to answer it as I got it. And if it's not what you asked, feel free to correct me and put me on the right path. But first of all, I understood your question. Are we feeling good with launching next to the next gens? And the second part of the question was, would it be more difficult for us to move out of that period to some later timing? I mean, I start from the end. We are not considering such scenario right now. As Adam mentioned, we do believe in the November date, so we're not building any plans around anything that would mean that Cyberpunk would launch later than November 19th. As for launching next to next gens, we're not worried about it. This generation is different in a way from how the move from PS3 to PS4, from X360 to Xbox One was happening back in the day, in a way that there is, from scratch, there is a cross-gen compatibility, and both on PlayStation and Xbox, there is actually a hardware enhancement of the games. So the current-gen games, if there is engineering work done behind them, will be playable, from the get-go on both consoles. So in fact, we look at it more as an opportunity because we're going to be targeting both the owners of the current-gen consoles and the next-gen consoles. And we're hoping to be the biggest or one of the biggest releases, in that time frame. And that definitely can help because there's going to be additional traffic and interest in video gaming around that time frame. That's the perception.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Matthew Walker of Credit Suisse. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, and good evening, everyone. You've mentioned in the past that you're not too worried about competition. Does moving into the November slot increase the amount of competition for you, would you say, or decrease it, or how do you see it?
All right. Hi, it's Michał Nowakowski again. So November, of course, is a different time frame than September, for sure. It's an interesting period because within that time, typically there's not that many releases of new games. One thing we assume is going to be happening right next to us is the launch of the next gen. And there's going to be some star titles, but there's not really a launching title of any huge magnitude. This is typically not happening. The launch titles have a slightly different purpose than. They're not, the size of, I don't know, GTA, Red Dead Redemption, or anything of that magnitude. There is an increased interest in video gaming that can work benefit. There, of course, may happen a launch of some other title, around that time frame. But again, there is never an empty period of time. The true competition is going to be mostly the fact that it's a busier period in media because of course the holiday season is approaching and so on, so we're going to be tackling with that, and that's about it.
Okay, many thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from Chino Up of Jefferies. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Ken Rumpf. Firstly, thanks by the way to the IR team for alerting everybody to the call. Obviously, I'm normally having a cream tea in the garden at this time. So two questions. In the Easter egg announcement earlier this year, you'd commented that we should expect the game, or last year, we should expect the game to have no monetization and DLCs, sort of like The Witcher. You've subsequently said regarding expansions, as you described them, that in hindsight, The Witcher could probably have had more expansions because there was a lot of appetite, even today, for the game. So
should we not assume that 2 is the limit to significant expansions? So that's one question. The other one is just regarding kind of bug fixing and issues arising. Is the extra work required because the game is simply larger and more complex than previous games that you've made? Or is it particularly also because it's kind of cross-generation? Thank you.
Hi, this is Mira Wakowski. I can actually take both, I think. In terms of the number of expansions planned after CP, I would not assume anything until we actually announce what is that number specifically. So you will have to be a little bit more patient and wait for that. That piece of news is actually going to come at some point, not far from now. But you have to leave it to us. I mean, this is part of the marketing campaign to reveal it at some point.
I will add one thing. The delay doesn't change any plans regarding the next content. So nothing has changed. Maybe dates, but in terms of the number of expansions planned, nothing has changed. So, and saying expect not less is coding that you might expect a bit more.
Uh-huh. Logical, thank you.
Right. In terms of where does the large amount of back fixing is coming from, it is related to the complexity of the game. This is by far the most complex game we've been working on so far. It's a completely revamped engine compared to what we had in Witcher 3. The complexity of all the systems in the game is much, much bigger than anything we've done before, and it just proved to be, you know, taking longer than we initially assumed.
Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are more questions, but as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you have to press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad. And the next question is from Peter Vanti of Trigon. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi. Two follow-ups for previous questions for me. Can you comment on whether postponing the release of the game on the current generation of console changes your internal assumptions about the release for the upcoming generation? The second one is, can you tell us how much the COVID-19 pandemic has affected the game's delay? Did you have problems with remote work, testing, optimizations, and so on? And the third one is, will there be an embargo for upcoming reviews in June after Night City Wire, and how long will it last?
Adam Kiczynski, and I'll take all three. So the next generation version is planned for the next year, the plan is still in place. We've never revealed when, but it's planned for the next year. So the delay doesn't change that much in this regard. The second question was about COVID, right? So it's the answer is not easy because things are in place, all processes are in place, nothing has changed, but this final phase always requires a lot of energy, a lot of effort, and I assume it's a bit easier to go through this final phase being together. I mean, from kind of human perspective. But this is the only thing which makes us a bit, you know, worried that we are in homes. On the other hand, we feel safe, so we prefer to stay in homes. But as I said, COVID doesn't make things easier, as all previous final phases were done while we were sitting in one office. And the third one was about embargo. Yes, there is an embargo, as always, and embargo will be lifted right after Night City Wire, same day. So in a week from now, we'll be able to read previews and judge by yourself about our creation or initial reactions of professionals to our newest creation.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question of Robert Berg from Berenberg. Please go ahead. The line is now open.
Yeah, just a quick one prompted by another question. Your November date is just a week
or so before Black Friday, where, of course, there can be some heavy discounting. And then a couple of other games in the past have been hit by that, where other games have been discounted just after their launch. Are you worried at all that you're shortening that window to sell at full price ahead of the sales period?
Once again, your question was whether we're planning to slash the price for Black Friday in a nutshell, or?
Not necessarily you, but are you worried that you are quite close to the sales period and that other games, if not you, might be discounted and therefore more competitive compared to you?
Not really, because you know, it's when you're new and fresh and coveted, that really is a big factor. So everything that's going to be, on sale for Black Friday, is actually going to be, you know, is going to be older. It's going to be something that has already been played by people and being bought opportunistically at a lower price. This is typically how it works. No, not so much. I mean, if anything, in physical retail, this could mean increased traffic, even on Amazon and the likes. That's going to be increased traffic on websites. People are browsing, checking out stuff.
Okay. Cool.
If I could add something from my side, what TUI experienced historically is that if there was a big promotion on any of the distribution platform on other games, then we even saw increased sales of undiscounted pre-orders for Cyberpunk. So in general, increased traffic in a store, even though other games are discounted, increases the sales of other products, or at least it did historically during the pre-order time for Cyberpunk.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Vladimir Dispala of BTB Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hello, thank you for taking my question. I would like to ask you about your marketing budgets. Given that the launch time of Cyberpunk is delayed and you have more time, are you going to increase your marketing activities, spend probably more money, and, for example, with the COVID situation in the autumn gets better, maybe you're going to plan some offline events? Could you comment on that? Thank you.
Okay, so I can take it again. This is Miro Vakoski. So we will be looking at our plans in the next days and short few weeks. We did not truly have a chance to discuss it with all the external partners to, you know, create a full plan. So while it's a possibility that the marketing may increase, we don't think it will increase by huge volume. The marketing we have planned currently is quite substantial, even considering this would be November period. But to give you a precise answer, I mean, we really will need a short few weeks. In terms of whether COVID is going to return in fall and change our tactics, first of all, I hope not for the sake of the whole planet. I think it's been pretty robust year for all of us in 2020. But second of all, the truth is vast majority of the campaign is digital in any way, and there is a big room space for shifting and moving things around in a quite agile way, which means we have quite a few moments where we can maneuver even last minute, as in, say, short few weeks before the launch. So we'll be able to adapt to the situation, whether this goes this or that way. And does it leave opening for us to have, if things go well, to have live events? We don't know. We're not currently planning for any, but hard to say. I mean, November is far enough with COVID in the equation for us not to make any assumptions around that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Patrick Wellington of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Just a question again about the timing. If I look at my notes from January the 16th, you said at the time that you were confident the game would be released on the 17th of September. The processes you described are very similar to the ones you described now. You talked about polishing technical changes. We have the game. It's been in this condition for the last couple of months. So back in January, you were saying, you know, the game is pretty much finished and has been for a couple of months. And as I remember, there was a debate at the time as to why you were launching in September. And I think the intimation was that actually September was longer than you needed, but you wanted to avoid the holiday season of July and August. So it seems to me that we're pretty much in the same situation we were in January. You are equally confident now that the game is going to launch on the November schedule. We've still got the same issue of polishing. I'm not sure what my question is. It's why should we be any more confident that the November date is better than the September date in terms of final completion? And I think one way asked last time, what are the landmarks between now and November so that we can see that you're this time on schedule?
All is true, what you've said, but the situation is very different because the game was complete back then, but the state of the build was very different. I mean, we were able to send it to rating agencies, but there was no chance to show the game to any press or journalists because the game was too buggy. Now it's polished enough to show it, to let people play. As we said, now journalists from around the globe are playing the game, and you will be able to read the previews next week, a week from now. So that's the landmark, the first landmark. And then every couple of weeks we'll reveal more and more. But and our visibility of what has to be done is much clearer than back then in January. So internally we see it very differently. But of course, from external world, at least till the next Thursday, as you have to, based on our words, situations might seem similar, but internally it's very different from what we had in January.
And if I'm a journalist playing the game next week, am I going to get a bug-free part of the game? Am I going to get access to the whole game? Are there parts of the games that they won't be able to play that are more buggy? I mean, why if it's good enough for journalists, is it not good enough, given that we're still 3 months away from the September launch date? What's the difference between what the journalists are going to be seeing and what is actually the end game, if you like?
I can take it here. This is Mirjana Vakoski. So previews are never based on the full walkthrough of a game that is story heavy, especially because, of course, you know, if it was, it would be a huge giveaway to everybody. So no, the press is getting access to the game, starting from the beginning, from the, you know, opening menu, from creation of the character and so on, and they're allowed to play for a certain time, and within that time they have no limits on what they can do, where they can go and so on, and they will be writing about their personal impressions on what they will experience. This is typically how the previews are done. I mean, I've never heard of a preview where the whole game would be given access. That's the whole purpose of making preview, of giving some impression, but at the same time keeping some stuff to the chest to be sure that you can surprise both the public and the journalists when they're going to be making reviews just before the launch of the game. But
the journalists won't have access to the buggy bits of the game, if you like.
There are still some bugs. I mean, journalists can see them, but they are limited, and they are aware of the fact that the game is not in the final phase, and their role is to judge the game, assuming that those bugs are fixed. So that's why they write previews. So the previews are without scores because reviews, which are based on the final shape of the game or bug-free version, have scores. So previews are based on fairly polished build, but still with some minor bugs.
Okay. I mean, if you had to put a percentage level of completion that you are on the game at the moment, what would that number be?
It's actually completed in terms of gameplay, content, everything. It's done 100%. The polish means there's stuff to be fixed. Like, for example, it doesn't mean that the game is not finished. Let's say there is a character walking down the street and that character is passing through the lantern as if it didn't exist. And that's, of course, something we don't want to have in the final build of the game. And these and many other things, like the light effects maybe getting wrong here and there in some particular circumstances. And these are, in a huge environment like that, these need to be sought for and eliminated before we pass the game to the players, because, of course, we don't want them to have their experience ruined by the fact that if it rains and it's 4:01 a.m. and you walk outside of that particular bar on that particular street, the night turns into day for 3 seconds. You know, we don't want that. And there's things like that popping up, which we are fixing. But again,
okay,
it's done.
And finally, are you having to employ extra people to do this? Is this within the capability of the existing team? Are you bringing, you know, more resource into this game from within the organization? I mean, what's the sort of scale of manpower, if you like?
Oh, well, we are good in terms of resources. Even some people have started already working on some works for future projects. So it's not about number of people. We have just to, you know, use our skill to polish and to tweak technology as well, because we release the game apparently on 5 platforms. I mean, 3, because 2 consoles and 1 PC, but current generation consists of 2 sub-generations, and there are a bit different, so we have to prepare builds for the first Xbox One and PlayStation 4, and for the upgraded as well. And this is just a lot, a big amount of work has to be done. But there is nothing mysterious in this process. I mean, you have to just do it, and then it's done.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder for you to ask a question, please press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad. And the next question we've received is from Peter Nubatskog of PKO Bank Polski. The line's now open. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Hello. I have several questions. The first one about the hands-on, journalist hands-on. On what platform will it be organized? On all platforms or on the super powerful PC? So this is maybe this one, because the next will be like a follow-up.
Oh, it's even more complex. I mean, on PC, and then it's streamed. So because of COVID, we are not able to provide them, and we are not providing builds. We can provide them with secure machines, so we are using some technologies to let them play remotely. But mm-hmm. due to the COVID, we have to use stream from PC.
Okay. So, and the second question about this polishing. A long time ago, there was a story that there are some troubles with optimization of the game for Xbox specifically. Is there any like optimization problems included in this final polishing, or just things that you mentioned, like interaction with objects or light effects?
Optimization is always done in a very late stage, so it's a part of polishing. Because optimization means that you try to have the best visual effect you can get from a certain machine, so it's a part of polishing.
Okay, and the next one is about backward compatibility. So Xbox already said that all games from previous generations will be available for the next generation, while in case of PlayStation, it seems to be more case like game by game. can we assume that starting from the day one of PlayStation 5, Cyberpunk will be running on the new generation of PlayStation also?
Yes, you can assume that. I mean, not assume. It will be running on both PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 from the launch date, just as it will run on the current Xbox and the next Xbox from day one.
And concerning this, one more thing, both Xbox and PlayStation 5 say that all the games will look better on, I mean, all the generation games will look better on the next generation. Will be also the case of Cyberpunk on the day one of the new consoles, because you said that you prepare specifications for older versions of PlayStation and Xbox, I mean PlayStation Pro, for example. Will it be also the case that there's additional specification, more demanding one for the next generation? It's not the final upgrade you plan probably for later, but at least something, or will it look the same?
It will look better on the next generation consoles from day one. The technicalities behind it are a little bit different than what you described, but probably no point in going in detail that. And I can confirm this is not the final update. At some point, we're going to have more robust update for the next gens, which we're planning to give free of charge to anybody who purchases PS4 or Xbox One version. But in any case, you will be able to play the game on the next gens from the 19th of November when the game releases, and it will look better than on the current gens from that moment as well.
Okay, so the last one, on the already mentioned call at the beginning of the year, you were using some phrases like time buffer and so on. I'm not criticizing or anything, but I didn't hear that now. Is it? Can we assume that due to COVID and so on and so on, things are like tense and ambitious right now? I mean, of course, base scenario, but is it like tense or some time buffer is in the schedule?
The situation is very different. As I said, our visibility of what to be done is much clearer. So we don't need such a big buffers as we don't expect. I mean, we are fixing and polishing, and we know what we are doing. So we believe that this 9 weeks on top should be fair enough to deliver what we want to deliver.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. At the moment, there are no further questions. So as a reminder, to ask a question, please press 0 and 1. We've received another question. It is from Lucas Bussell of... Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Łukasz Kosiarski from PKO. I have two questions. First, on submission the game for platform holders, when do you plan to submit the game to Microsoft and Sony? And the second question is on maybe Metacritic quality. How much quality do you target to improve by delaying the game by 9 weeks? Like 5 points or less or more? We should give more comments on this, please.
Hi, Łukasz. I'll start from the second. Maybe Michał Nowakowski will take then the first one. We don't measure it like this. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, we are targeting top quality. And from our calculations, it seems that adding 9 weeks secures the whole process. And we decided not to take the risk of releasing the game which might be not in the quality that we targeted. And that's the only comment I can give. But we don't have any discussion about how many points on Metacritic you can lose or gain by adding time.
Hey, Łukasz. And then the first one about the submissions to Microsoft and PlayStation, Sony. Of course, I mean within the time we have built in for the launch now, the moment of such submission is factored in, but we don't or never have actually publicly commented on when these submissions are happening. These are not typically announced, to be perfectly honest. It's just a production stage. That's it. It's there. It has to happen, of course.
Okay, so maybe I will ask a different question on the same subject. Is the process of submitting the game different before the launch of next-gen consoles, or is it the same? For example, a year ago.
It's mostly similar, to be honest, almost the same practically. There's like a teeny tiny bit of work to be done on making sure that the game will be able to benefit from the power of the next generation of consoles, and that's pretty much it. We're supported by that, working with first parties and so on. It's not a factor that is creating a time risk, if that is underlying question here.
Okay, so and on the next-gen consoles, the proper next-gen version, last time you said it will arrive sometime in 2021. Does the delay, the 9-week delay, cause proportional delay in the next-gen Cyberpunk version release?
To be honest, we don't know yet, as we haven't decided on a precise date for the next gen. We are sure that it will deliver next year, but it was not even internally planned for a certain day. So hard to say about the potential delay of the next gen.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would like to turn back to you. Oh, we now
All right.
We received another question, if you want to take it.
Yes, please.
Okay, yeah, the line is now open. Please introduce yourself shortly.
Good morning, it's good evening actually. It's Robert Sachigowski from PKO TFI. Sorry if I missed something that was already said, because unfortunately I was a little bit late to the call. If you could maybe elaborate a little bit on what do you think what would need to actually happen for you to postpone the game even further? So what is the largest area of your concern, you know, given all of the changes that you need to implement till the new deadline that you just set? So a little bit on that. And sorry if that was also already answered, and I just didn't hear that.
Hi, it's Michal Wakowski again. We don't have such a scenario. We're not considering going beyond November 19, so I guess this is the best answer I can give here.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no more questions now.
All right. Thank you very much for participating in the call. Sorry for the delay. I mean, we should say sorry because we promised something else, but we truly believe that ultimately, finally, we can prove and will prove that it was the right decision. And please wait 1 week till Night City Wire, and please read previews. We don't know them. I mean, they are playing. They are already playing, and they'll write about the game, and then your knowledge about our product will be much broader than now. Thank you very much. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.